This is CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the ad man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly.
Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man, the ad man, and we are back at it. Black Sam. Hey. How long has it fucking been? I mean, how long has it been? I mean, oh, second sentence. How long has it been, man? It's been way too long. I think I haven't been here in about 4 or 5 weeks. As in physically come to the stew. You know, I've been letting you guys take some sips off of the old tea, as they say. But yeah, man, I've missed you guys, man. I miss being in the stew. It almost feels like I'm starting all over again. But then I remembered when I stepped back down that I'm not starting all over again. I've been at this for a little bit. And we are going to be fine. I'll still be able to pilot this motherfucker without fucking up. So, g'day. I'm in the stew. And I just need to make sure that all my stuff is working. Let me just make sure. Hold on. Yeah, that's right. Hold on. Yeah, that's right. You see, I just need to see that my things are still working. Yeah! Oh shit, your boy G-Man the Ad-Man, and we are back at it. I got a bunch of people in the studio with me today, you know, and I'll be honest, you know, I mean, I'm an honest man. I'll be honest, I was worried about time, you know. I was worried that these guys are going to make it. You know what I mean? I'm an honest man, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna fuck around and not say I was worried. You know, when I saw them saunter in this motherfucker, with 5 minutes to spare, I was like, hey, what do I do now? You know, I prepped an entire thing about apologizing for them and all that shit, but the homies are here, and I'm gonna introduce them to you in a little bit. But you know, guys, you don't actually believe who else is here. Guys, cheese is here.
I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah? What's going on, cheese?
I've been putting out fires, man. I've been doing this. You know, advertising gets in the way of life.
Yeah,
that's what's been happening. But I'm good. I'm back.
It's been a while, man. I mean, cheese has just been operating in the background. You know what I mean? So like, he goes out there, he finds the cans. He found these two gentlemen. You know what I mean? He's out there. He's finding all types of people. But you know, when the studio needs him, you know,
then
advertising calls, man. Advertising doesn't fuck around, man. You think you got it down? You can move things around until traffic calls you, right? But what have you been up to, Chief? Tell us, what's going on?
That's a big question. I've been up to a lot of good things.
Yeah.
Work wise, personal life. Yeah. I'm trying to do this adulting thing.
Yeah.
And I've also had a fucking good time.
Yeah.
I've just came back from the Lurie's where I saw these two idiots.
Yeah. We're gonna get into that shit. Okay, cool. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna introduce these cats, right? In fact, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna lay it down real thin, right? And then the homies are gonna tell you what they do, what they're up to, you know? And then, like, you know, what I'll do is I'm gonna keep my finger on their microphones. Cause like, I'm worried about some of the things these guys are going to say. As soon as I feel like they're saying the wrong thing,
mute that shit.
No, but I'm kidding. Anything goes. You guys know this is CliffCentral.com. Everything goes. And it's your boy G-Man the Ad Man. Remember to hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM. And then remember, we still have that WhatsApp number. You can drop me a young message. You know what I mean? It's 079-748-2090. But yeah, it's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man. So I'll tell you who I got in the studio today. I'm excited about it because, you know, there's these two worlds that kind of
kind of are almost inseparable, right? The world of advertising and the world of music. Because also, like, advertising will do that too. It will repress you and you'll find another love. You know what I mean?
You have to find a mistress.
It will repress you until you find another love. But in the studio with me today, some of you might have encountered, you've encountered these guys. I know you have. Whether it's actually at some really, really dope work stuff that they've been up to, or it's at making with them making you jive out there in the streets
and making you enjoy
themselves at prom. Yeah. I think I don't know if they qualify to be called prom lords, but
the lords of prom.
But in the studio with me today, I got Neo Makongoza. What's going on?
Hey, what up, P?
Hey, what's carry, man? You good?
I'm all good. I think the word is king of prom. Yeah. You know, never mind lord.
Yeah,
I could be practicing that greeting.
What up? What up? It sounds like
last
night. Hey, Makongoza.
Look, I've always wanted to be on the other end of the mic. You know. Not directed, but be the voice behind it.
You got too much time on your head. Last night you're promising this. You're practicing this shit
all night.
But also in the studio with us today, it was Lazarus Machabula. Lazarus, man, what's going on?
What up, though?
Hi.
You know, like, this is not the club, nigga.
But what have you guys been up to, man? Like, you know what I like to ask, you know, like, what is it that we took away from? You know what I mean? Like, I know inboxes are crazy. I'll start with you, Laz. What are you up to? Talk to us.
Yo, man, I just snuck out.
Yeah.
That's like, traffic, no.
Lunch.
Yeah. Does traffic know about this?
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna have to answer a few questions when I get back.
Yeah.
Just seemingly is worth it. So.
Yeah.
Oh, seemingly. Yes, it is.
Well, I'm going through it. At the end of it, I'll be like, yeah, that was worth it. Yeah. You know, but in the process now, it feels right.
That's dope.
I'm all about that. But there's some really big briefs. Currently sitting on KFC. So.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Currently sitting on some KFC. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like, so getting a nice plug in there. I'm charging your client. I'm sending a PO.
Right. Yeah, no, that's cool. And also, like, you know, they want the awards there, you know?
Michael Zulu wants his award.
Shout out to Zulu.
Shout out to Michael Zulu.
Man. And you, Kongito, talk to me, man. What have you been up to?
Look, we just came back from the Lurie's, as she was saying.
Yeah.
Outside of the good time, was actually judging there.
Yeah, that's dope. How was that?
That was very, very intense. A lot of good work coming out of the, because I was judging student category and digital craft.
And how did that make you feel? Do you feel like there's some young uns coming in the game, or should you be worried?
Oh, I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be inspired by, you know, creatively. Yeah. I think the young kids are definitely on the come up.
Yeah.
There's also some very, very scary revelations about, you know, what the youth interpret as social issues.
Yeah,
know,
like
and
what?
How
like what?
They, you know, how they have played it out creatively.
Yeah.
You know, women abuse is still quite a prevalent topic.
Yeah.
Racism is quite a prevalent topic as well.
And for obvious reasons. Yeah.
And social dynamics. So, like, I think the parts that scared me the most is almost seeing, like, kids of color.
Yeah.
And the way they interpret their circumstances.
Right.
And, like, kids of no color.
Yeah.
Or caucasity.
Yeah.
WIPO.
Yeah.
White people.
Yeah.
And how they've almost interpreted our struggle.
Right.
And how
right.
they, like, creatively interpreted, like, so some of the works we saw was completely misguided
around
the situation. I don't know if I can talk about it,
there was
this one particular execution about taxi drivers and why taxi drivers
drive
the way they do,
and
you know, the like the history behind why they do it and the history behind the taxi industry at large was super misguided.
It was so misguided
that, like, I took offense
and
we couldn't even carry on the judging at some point.
Yeah.
It was a matter of, you know, let the case study roll, let's just move on to the next one. She was painting a picture that was obviously from her interpretation or whatever she grew up around, you know, it being like an anti-apartheid movement for the taxi industry, when, you know, so she almost married the idea of starting an industry like that
in order to fight
the power.
Yeah.
To get to work.
The reality of it is that it's a business. You know? The taxi industry is like universal. You know,
that's
in the UK,
that's
in the New York
people
taxi.
People need to travel.
People need to travel. So that is really the human insight.
Yeah.
So it scared me to see her turn or him. You know, because it was genderless. We don't really know who was behind it.
It's funny though that you went straight to her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, you want any bias?
No, he saw the name.
Trash.
Yeah,
he saw the name. Trash. Trash.
He saw the name. Saw the name.
No, okay, wait.
So
but
now he's trying to be like, no, it didn't go that way. But you saw the name.
Okay, cool. But hold on. I just want to take a step back because like these are also still students, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, and I think the word misguided is right because there's obviously some kind of lecturer or somebody who has to be in the room saying, yeah, let's enter this thing. You know. So do you think that a part of the problem is the kind of people that are doing the guiding? In the institutions, or do you just think that like that the problem is the compound is that compound is that it's the students and the lecturers?
I think it paints our dynamic. It paints the South African dynamic. You know that misguided understanding of people of color and probably the same way around. You know, with us.
Yeah.
You know, towards them.
That's right.
It was an interpretation that she had, it was a thought that she had around why these things exist. She married it to a creative concept, but because of the insight wasn't strong enough, it came out the wrong way. And no one was really there to correct her. You know?
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, this is very interesting. It's like very high-key creative. I can see how you've translated this into a visual aesthetic or a copy aesthetic that works.
Yeah.
I like it, so let's enter it, you know.
Okay.
Without even thinking that, you know, yes, a student category, no one will probably ever see the work in the public space, but the ramifications of someone else seeing that work.
Yeah.
Or
but I mean, remember when we were students as well, you didn't have the parameters, right? Of like the client's gonna tell us to fuck off. You know what I mean? So you, and that's actually the space where you actually are supposed to and you're encouraged to break boundaries and to push the envelope so that you know when you do get to the place where you're told there's no fucking way of presenting that, you actually do though have the experience behind you of having being able to put in like not controversial, but work that's not quite tame. You know what I mean? Because I think that's how you create tame creators by taming them too early.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean,
I want to get your opinion on this.
Look, I think it's a social responsibility that us as the older gods and them being the young youth, we're literally supposed to collaborate and like live within each other's spaces.
I agree with that entirely.
Yeah.
I mean, based on what we've seen, what I've seen, like mostly, and I'm gonna be very honest, I'm very fresh to like advertising.
Right.
I'm a baby to this, so
based
on what I'm seeing, I think a lot of it is just invested, and I've seen it like with some of the young people that we've worked with. They find like a right insight, and then that automatically motivates the creative work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, for example, you know, taxi drivers are quite problematic.
Yeah.
You know, the invigilators will go, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
In that voice specifically. Yeah.
And then that goes into they're like, what can you do about this? How can you think about it? Like, there was this one time we were talking about, social bullying is a problem. Okay, cool. Let's create creative around that.
Yeah.
I remember that conversation happening. And so I think that's just, it's just, I think the way that it's being taught and how to work, that's, that sort of conversation is very wrong because it doesn't matter. I think sometimes they get so invested in the insight being right.
Yeah.
It means that the creative is going to be
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that for me always, it's such a dangerous place to have young people thinking because they're just always informed by that.
Yeah.
Time,
you know? Now, I think you bring up something really, really, really interesting because I feel like that doesn't just apply to young people or people who just come up
in
the game.
Creatives in general.
It happens to creatives in general, right? Because like we've all started out getting into this place where like I know how like strategists, and I mean I love strategists. Some of my best friends are strategists. But I think that like sometimes like the whole thing about how you land at the inside, right? Mm. So at some point the strategist kind of goes in and our inside is this to me, right? And then everyone stops there and says yes, the inside is right. That the work that comes out of it is not necessarily right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And people end up making pieces of shit because we can just look back at the strategy and say, guys, but we did kind of say that black people do dance on Sundays when they get cut.
You know what I mean? So they do argue about Tupperware.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the execution that comes out at the end is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's a caution to all of us actually. That we need to calm ourselves down. Calm ourselves down. Yeah, guys. That's Matibula. Give me a question about the way you are making adverts right now.
Stay woke, kid.
Yeah. Kafar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Lazarus man is not very happy with you right now. Oh man.
But wait, I will say this one thing. I think like the responsibility is not only on the strategist to come up with the insight.
Yeah.
I think, you know, creatively led insight that, like, you know, translates into creative work is also quite powerful. And a lot of the pieces that are winning, or the pieces that at least stand out in my mind and in my consciousness, have been driven by strong strategic insights.
Well, I've always believed that in order to do what we do, you have to have some kind of strategic bone in you, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you just happen to be a strategist that also has the ability to translate that onto paper, or onto MacBook. But I think, but I think
some
that
other kids use PC
or PC even. But I think that you have to, because you can't just be making things in isolation. Otherwise, we might as well be poets and artists under a bridge, right? So you have to have some kind of intent to serve the purpose of the product you're selling.
Yeah.
So that's a given for me. That's why, like, I guess I'm always like, we need to watch how much weighting we give to
strategy,
to where insight comes from, which is what the point you're making, right? So we have to watch where we think insight can come from, because the person who has to go and execute the work, right, needs to actually feel so attached to that insight that it's seamless how we arrive at the work.
Precisely.
But it's okay, you know. I mean, you can also just send us our invoices are coming. This might have just been a class at the AAA School of Advertising, but we're here all day. It's your boy G-Man, the Ad Man. Remember to hit me up. Hey, if you have any questions for the guys in the studio, if you have any comments, you want to tell them what's up, if you want to tell them, hey man, I saw your Bram, man. Hey. What the fuck?
The Bram Lord.
Yeah.
I like that name, Bram Lord.
Yeah, exactly. Hit me up.
Hit me up. DJ Duo.
Yeah.
Bram Lord.
Bram Lord.
I love it. Bram Line. Bram Line. It's your boy, G-Man. Hit me up at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM or at CliffCentral.com. And hit me up with your comments. Let's have some conversation. So, a lot of shit has happened in the time that I've been away.
This past week.
Not just this past week. Jeez, slow your roll, man. Jeez, we have to get to this one thing.
The news cycle is like a week old. Anything older than a week is over. Let's move on.
It's a timeline.
Some things have happened. Okay, fine. You know what? Maybe let's just go at it. Like, let's start at from the Lurie's. You know what I mean? That's fine, right? Yeah. Cool. Let's talk about what happened at the Lurie's. The Lurie's happened and apparently it was a really good show. You know what I mean? I think for me, I felt like the past couple of years were getting strange, especially with the attendance of the ceremonies themselves. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of people were just going there and going, I'm not gonna win anyway. Let's just drink. You know? and it was quite sparsely populated in the show itself. You guys were there. I mean, I wasn't there because of medical reasons. because I went to my son, but he told me that there's witchcraft involved here. I peed in a cup and he showed me faces in that pee. I saw some faces you might recognize. I recognize.
It's always tricky.
Yeah. but you guys were there. How were the Lurie's?
Look, the after party was a lot better than the actual ceremony.
Boom.
I mean, I'm just being real. It always is, you know. But
which after party though? Let's be specific. The official one or the other ones?
The one I was DJing at.
So not the official one.
The Crib TBWA after party.
You shout out to homies on TBWA Friday night. Grid.
You shout out to Grid. I was there for a little bit.
I'm so worried for Cheese. I feel like he's about to say the wrong shit.
Yeah, I know. He's
like holding his tongue there.
Cheese, you know what? You're unhinged, my man. Do what you got.
It's Wednesday. I'm ready.
Alright, cool. So talk.
Look, we're not going to implicate anyone about the happenings of the actual after party.
Yeah.
But from the ceremony itself, look, some very, very nice pieces of work won, you know?
Yeah.
Good bodies of work that came out. Very, very creatively charged, creatively strong.
Yeah.
But again, you know, there was the MEC speech that happens in the beginning.
That's right.
Where he said bitches instead of beaches.
And then
we just landed up riding on the beaches thing.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, some of that stuff. But the awards that went out are very, very well deserved, I think.
Yeah.
You know, the work was very insight driven.
Conversation
that we're having now,
yeah,
and how it translated creatively, whether it was audibly, whether visually, whether it was on digital. I think it was a very, very, very good run, man.
That's dope, man. That's dope. Did the Middle East have its way with us again this year?
The Middle East always finds a way of coming in, you know.
Yeah.
but luckily there was quite a couple of strong pieces from this side of the country.
Yeah, that's dope. That's dope.
Yeah, that
so,
really
so there were also like a lot more entries from the rest of the continent, right? I mean, you would have kind of noticed that from also from the judging. How was that? Did you feel like
You know, because for me, it's always felt like South Africa had a different standard or held itself into a different standard than the rest of the continent. And I was excited by the fact that there was more work that's being entered into Lurie's that, you know, either they could help us get closer to the continent or we can help them get closer to the rest of the world.
We can learn, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how do you guys feel about that? Was that there?
Yeah, I mean, the EMEA campaign, the Drive campaign was quite cool, man.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, I was expecting for it to win a lot more than what it did.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, again, competitively, there were a couple of other pieces that were on the table as well.
That's
that
right.
Had the same brevity, you know, that tackle social issues that really, really got to the heart of, like, what's happening in our country, in our continent, on this planet. But the way they were executed was what gave the first prize.
Yeah,
you know, stuff that hasn't really, really been seen before.
Got
like
you.
Mediums of execution that, like, really just, you know, really tipped the scale.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And we celebrated that a whole lot more, you know, but without taking away, you know, the radios and the TVs and the prints and the press.
No, we'll talk about the radios. We'll get there.
Just a quick question. I just wanted to find out, do we view the work that's coming from the rest of the continent as us and them, or are we just interested in raising the levels of creativity? Because I earlier on you mentioned, like, they could bring us closer to the continent and we could bring them closer to the world as if we have the world standard.
I think there
is an obvious division, and you'll see it in some of the clients that we have, you know?
Yes,
they split us us
there's an Africa division,
you know what I'm saying? We've presented work and they're like, this is too highbrow for the African market. You know what I'm saying? So I do think that's what I'm saying. Like, it brings us close in the form that we can gap between the clients and us divide, that can start to diminish.
That's right.
But we also mustn't forget that once upon a time, we also, as Black South Africans, addressed that there was certain types of work were too high power for us.
Yeah.
So let's be wary of that.
Absolutely. And for me, that's actually the point that I was making. Like, I think that, you know, South Africa, because of historically what the industry used to be, like, it kind of, like, with many other industries, didn't consider itself part of the continent.
Yeah.
And what's strange is that the rest of the world was also fine with that as well.
Yeah. Mm.
So, like, it just felt like we just ran off on this thing and we made a certain brand of work, which has kind of gotten us all this acclaim, which is cool. But it does feel like when it comes to, like, the world standard, we some of the other countries on the continent have been left behind because not spending enough time around that kind of work, right? So what I'm saying is, are we drawing enough from what they've been doing, and are we giving enough of what we've been doing in order to create the African piece of work, like how you see people judging, like, in Latin America.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those guys touch together, like, shamelessly. You know what I mean? Everyone says, like, I don't care what that piece of work is. From Latin America, it must be good.
It's for my country.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we need to be able to build a community like that. Not necessarily to cheat, but in order to create a community that kind of goes, you know, there's an African flavor to this thing, and there's an African voice and an African kind of presence to the work.
If we do that, then we all get motivated much better to support.
Yes.
You know, you feel better about
look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah. Look at Jesus. That's really Jesus. Yeah. Jesus back with his fucking petulant ass. It's your boy, G-Man the Ant-Man, and the homies are in the stew. And we're hanging out, talking about all types of things. Yeah, like I said, we're going to talk about all these things. So we just got a tweet from Bezzy. Said, I'm so dead at you guys. Ha ha, G-Man the Ant-Man. Because we're back. It's your boy, and we're back in the stew. So, the other dope thing that happened is that Tiriso. Voted new chairman. You shout out to Tiriso Rangaka.
I'll let that homie.
Yeah, man. Too damn dope.
Block.
Yeah.
Lucky practice that as well.
The timing.
Hey guys, it's my radio debut, right? So, you know, who knows? I might be sitting in your chair, bro. In a few.
Oh,
you're putting me on blast now, homie.
I'm just saying, we came together.
I could just leave alone, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, the homies. Anyway, so I mean, Tiriso being voted chairperson of the Lurie's, I think it's a really, really big deal. You good there?
Yeah,
I think it's a really big deal. But I mean, I want to get from you guys. You know, it feels like every time there's a change of a chairperson, it feels like it influences kind of the way the organization represents itself. You know, yeah. So you shout out to Suhana Gudan for the term that she just did, and there was a lot of advancement of the women's cause, right? And for obvious reasons, you know, because like that feels like one of the conversations that we've left behind for a very long time. And actually, there was a lot of advancement in that regard. So look at Tishana before that. There's a lot of advancement in this cause that we keep talking about here. You know, what do you think some of the challenges that CDSO should be living like in the forefront of CDSO's list of the shit to influence?
You want to answer that?
It's okay. We're here.
You want to get that?
Everything's allowed down here, man.
Or maybe phrase the question differently. What challenges do you think he faces? And I want to be part of his tenure.
Wait, hold on, Chief. I don't know. Like the priority, like as a formal priority, what do you think should be like forefront in his mind?
Transformation.
Yeah, but I mean that conversation has also been ongoing for a while. But are there any nuances that you think like we should be tapping straight into?
I think like as long as the conversation has been going on for a while, it means that it hasn't been addressed.
Boom!
If it keeps coming up every single year, it means we're nowhere near it. I had a conversation with Suhana, like I think either the day after.
Yeah.
You know, and we spoke about women and transformation being like in the same narrative.
That's right.
Those are the two biggest challenges that need to be addressed. And they, you know, every year happens and there's less women sitting on the board.
That's
There's less women in high powered positions. There's less women in positions that they deserve, you know. And to add layer to that, there's less black people in positions they deserve, you know. The narrative as well, you know, I think we're doing a really good job with the Black Label stuff, with you know, the Milk Stout stuff, and a whole list of things that is dropping right now. But because it's not enough, and because we're still having that conversation, it means that there's an issue.
I'm with you absolutely.
I think you know, we need to look at transformation as a muscle.
Yeah,
you know, and it's not a muscle we've used before.
That's right.
So we need to train that muscle so that it's able, because you know, once you do it a lot of the times, that muscle becomes inherent to that particular thing. It's that whole thing about learning
muscle
a new
memory,
skill.
Yeah.
You know, you need to develop the neurons in the body to be able to have that. So we talk transformation, but the practice of it is scarce, and
you need to
you know what I'm saying. So we need to like ease it into. And I feel like the most important for me with transformation is an education about what this transformation
actually is. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, listen, when we say transformation, we're talking things like this and like this. There should be an infographic. There should be like, you know, an infographic is a pretty stupid word. What I'm saying is that the transformation needs to be something that we're constantly flexing and not necessarily talking about. Because it's great to put those certain people, and I think that's what's going to be his biggest challenge. Okay, what is this muscle of transformation supposed to do? How is it supposed to flex?
Which direction is it supposed to go?
And I think that's his biggest challenge.
Yeah,
you know
that's
saying?
Dope, yeah. man. That's dope. I've never heard anybody put it like that. I think that's dope. Yeah. You just hope you're listening, my man.
I think this also goes back to what Neo mentioned earlier about being misguided. So for a lot of people, when they hear transformation, for them it's simply like, we just need more black people.
Yeah, we're going to pump rush.
Yeah, exactly. Coaches. They're taking over. And I think, like when you said, like, well, if everyone gets educated about what it actually means, it's not getting just the blacks in the room or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a bigger conversation, or women in the room. Because then we get into that funny place where people
you can
are just
have
seeing
women
a point
in the room, but still have people that feel a certain way.
That's right. That's right.
Not working.
Or have women in the room, or even have black people in the room, but not having real influence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just sitting there for the photo op.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We know all about that. We know all about that kind of shit. A few people have hit us up already on Twitter. Khosi hit us up saying, yo, when last, Black Sam, welcome back, Chief. It's good to be back.
Thank you, my people.
Back in the stew. Right here, right now. Shababadushibaba. we got Prasol. Says, I think it's dope that you've got your strange little brother, House of Lazarus, in the street.
Can I tell you the strangest thing? The most bizarre and the most annoying thing. And I've come to accept it. And the first time I met you, like, I was like, what the fuck are these people talking about?
Oh!
So I started at Ogilvy, and they're like, oh my God, you remind me of Christ. I was like, okay, who's this? And then I'd say, the 15th time, they're like, and he's charismatic like him. This is the reincarnation of Christ. aunt.
What? Why are they all going to be women, though? Why are they all going to be women? Oh, what are you doing? Nigga, what are you doing? What are you doing? I told you guys, I'm going to switch this man's mic off like I promised I would.
You know.
You guys are out of hand. You guys are out of hand. Some bullshit. Oh, man. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man. And we're still at it. So, once again, now let's get into the nitty-gritty. You know, I think that. You know, and I'll phrase this, and feel free to not answer where you feel like you might be putting yourself at your party at the workplace. So I think that, like, agencies, we have a very strange, we have to relook our relationship with awards, right? Because I think awards are a very dope thing. They give us the prestige that we think comes with it, their currency in what we do. But sometimes they make us do strange things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So sometimes what happens is then, like what happened recently in this past week, where certain agencies had to give the award back because there was no, but purely because there just wasn't enough background work done in making sure that the work that was entered. You know, I'm going to approach this from as non-malicious a place as possible, right? People kind of went, look, there was some background work you guys were supposed to have done in making sure that this work was right, but you didn't. You know, you didn't do the due diligence, sent the work in, it won, and now, there's this bullshit that this thing needs to be taken back because, you know, it's wrong. Now, how I think we have a weird relationship with the awards that we neglect the due diligence that we would do on any other normal piece of work with a client. Like, you wouldn't go present to a client a piece of work that you know you're not allowed to fly, but we do it for awards because we kind of also think that awards is a sideshow.
Yeah,
you know, where some of the rules don't actually apply, right, but they actually should. You know what I mean? But I want to know from you, and maybe let me ask you first, Cheese. Like, I want to know from you, like, how, like, what do you think? Do you think we have a healthy relationship with how we approach awards, and do our personalities with the real work match our personalities with the awards?
No, I think up until this point, I think it's been treated differently. Awards were literally just, I want to creatively flex. It's not work that you would do on a normal basis, and how also there's a big rush just before the Lurie's deadline.
Yeah.
People now just churning out work at a rate that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I think they've been treated as something like the sideshow.
Yeah.
I want to creatively flex. Hence we also know of scam work that's happened strictly for the Lurie's because it's not work they would normally do. And I think that relationship is very unhealthy.
And you know what though, Cheese? I want you also to understand. We're not the only industry that does that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so, so I think that everyone understands it. And my take on it has always been, like I always say, awards, and I'm sure I mentioned it on the show before, awards for me are like, take the fashion world, are like the haute couture.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's the stuff that you'll see on a runway, right? That won't necessarily end up at Edgar's, right?
Yeah.
So like, it's the stuff that influences what the industry, like where our thinking is, we reflect and we kind of go, this is what we're capable of. But it does end up influencing what the stuff at Edgar's looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So like the influence of how hard we flex on the ramp kind of comes. I mean, I've watched Devil Wears Prada. You know what I mean? So that's where the reference comes from. But I think that's exactly it. You know, so we shouldn't think that this is unique to us as an industry.
No. Just generally. Yeah.
The F1, same thing.
Yeah.
You know what you see the Honda car do on the F1 influences what the Civic becomes.
They trickle that technology down.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But is the disparity in that relationship? Like, is that healthy? Is there a point where it becomes unhealthy?
So I think this is weird. So I essentially started out as an artist in a performance, but an artist.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And through the process of like being seen perform at particular places, I met an individual from YouTube who suggested I go work for Native VML.
Right. Right.
But like, you're right.
Oh, is that what you guys
Yeah.
Shout out Native VML. What's going on?
So I had no. I had no inclination to be in advertising or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they were like, you can write, and because you can write and you do this well in this capacity, I feel you can do it well in this.
That's right.
So my background in terms of like that was very. So when I got you and I started hearing about these Lurie's where people were getting awarded for creativity, I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, and people getting these birds and people flying out to France to pick up lions.
That's right.
You know, it was because for me this was purely a job.
Yeah.
This was pay. And then now all of a sudden people are going, so how are you winning?
Yeah.
Have you entered anything?
Yeah.
I was like, what am I entering? I was like, no, this at the end of the day, like if I can make sure that, you know, work comes out for that particular client, I can deliver and I can retain my job.
My
salary.
I'm doing great. You know what I'm saying? That was my thesis. Yeah. And shout out to Prasol. You know, he started to like people started to educate me. Like, no, Doug, this is how actually you move up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That like, sounds exactly like it.
Shout out to FT. Shout out to everyone. You know, and he was like, this is how you move up. Like, if you want more guap, you know, if you want to make a case for you know, if you want to make a case for particular things, and I think that's what it's become.
Yeah.
For me, as an outsider looking into the advertising world, a lot of people are able to like bag a few birds, put a lion in, and then go, yo, la la la, I'm out.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Or be able to like counter argument for particular. And with that, I can respect that because right now, particularly as black creators, we don't also have a very strong foot to stand on.
That's right. That's right.
And you go, and you're like, yo, listen, man, my kids starting school, man, I need more money. They're like, yeah, but when them awards at? You know, so I think they've transformed into this mechanism.
Yeah.
And it's not a negative thing because that also promotes you to think a little bit, you know, out
that's
the
right.
box to try and create that income that you weren't necessarily going to get. You spend a little bit more hours working on something, you put a little bit more effort. And that's for me where I'm starting to grasp it. Am I at the level to win awards? I think I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
You know, to get to that point where I get really, really hungry for them.
That's right.
But I think that there's an interesting relationship between the awards and people's position in their workplace and how their lifestyles are based.
That's right.
There's an interesting thing.
There's also a danger in the fact that some people work hard at getting awards, and this is like they grasp that skill or the way to package and do things to get awards. But their day to day, the people who actually keep the lights on in the
that's
can't service,
you know,
the the clients unhappy, but you're
I know a few people like
I mean, we all know people like that. No type of names, but Leo, do you think you want to comment on that?
Look, there's a philosophy that I try and live by, that I try and bring through in my work, that was taught to me by Jason Zanopoulos.
Yeah, shout out Jason Zanopoulos. What's going on,
Jason?
You know, he said, you know, create work that lives in people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, or that changes at the pace of culture. You know, or influences real change, whether it's socioeconomic, whether it's street culture, whether it's whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I hear what Laz is saying, you know, and I get it. That's almost, that has been the framework, that has been the mantra for the advertising industry large for the longest time.
Yeah.
Like, as long as it's a month before the actual award ceremony, let's quickly put together something, enter it so that we can win a gold or a Grand Prix or whatever, you
and
know.
And stake our case.
I really think, you know, it could be a bold statement, could be a bit audacious, but I think the more you do work that you personally are invested in, like from a spiritual or cultural or even emotional level, or that, you know, you live that philosophy behind that insight or that work, the better it becomes, you know, the easier it becomes, and the easier it comes to you.
Yeah.
You know, the second base of that point is that, like, try and do award-winning work for clients.
That's right.
Every day, award-winning work on the
brief. That's the ideal world, right?
Yeah. I feel like when you do that, or when you get to that achievement, you know, even when you go up on stage, everyone around you is like, I know that work.
Yeah,
I've seen it before.
Exactly.
I love that work. Yeah. I showed it to my grandma. I showed it to my sister.
Clients also happy.
Clients also happy about it. They're completely involved and immersed in the process, you know. But still, with that being said, I'm not disregarding the current structure. You know? I think if you have something that's very important to be said, and the only opportunity that you have of executing it is within an advertising realm. If it's a month before the award ceremony, then so be
it. Make it happen.
Then make it happen, because it's going to land up on the world stage. It's going to land up in France. It's going to land up in Etepe. And everyone sitting in that room is going to recognize that, oh, okay, this is the types of things I should be paying attention to socially. And, you know, I'm very impressed by this work. When I leave Durban after my 200th tequila, I'm going to remember that,
only
200? This 200? Is...
Only 200?
A whole weekend of 200 tequila.
You
used to fuck this shit
up. You burn this shit up.
Now you all know why I don't drink anymore.
200 tequila.
Oh, man. All right, cool. But, I mean, I think this is also, like, one of those conversations that are ongoing, that we'll continue to keep having. And because the conversation itself will keep evolving, you know, and And it's a weird thing because it always gets tripped up when incidents like what happened this past week happens. Everyone just goes, oh, damn it. Then we kind of have to do some introspection and go, damn it, how are we approaching this thing? Is this healthy? Yeah. But I mean, I just think that generally we all know the feeling that comes with doing the right thing. And we also know the feeling that comes with winning, right? It just didn't have to. It doesn't have to consume us to the place where
win at all costs.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you know what? I don't want to run out of time before I actually get into these cats.
Yeah.
You know, and talk about what these cats are about. So like, I mean, you kind of touched about, Laz, you touched on, like, you know, before this, you know, you used to do spoken word and how that influenced you getting into the game. How much of that still has a place in how you execute or how you do the work at the agency? So how much of your music life influences how you do your work at the agency?
I personally try to
separate the two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But are you able to? Is it easy?
It's difficult because, you know... I'm just trying to think about it right now. It's difficult because, you know, someone sees something that I may have done on the side, you know, and they were like, yo, why have you not put this into this?
Yeah,
you
right.
Know,
I hear you.
You know, because they're like, yo, this idiosyncrasy, like, will work so much better. This, you know, the way if you merge this with this, and I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there is a bit of that trickles over into it, you know.
Yeah.
And the most difficult thing, you know, is particularly coming from a spoken word aspect is,
you
put that kind of stuff in there, and then, like, I think sometimes and a lot of people who are double creatives, you know, go through this where, you know, you do this kind of thing and then you just expect it to do it
all the time.
You know what I'm saying?
Because that's all they expect from you.
It's like, you know, like, you did this one really dope thing.
Yeah. So now
that's a signature. And I'm not disputing the requirements of that. But I'm just, you know, because I think, you know, as an artist, you try to evolve from the last bit of what you did. You know what I'm saying? You're not always trying to be reflective of that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So there is that difficulty.
But
that difficulty.
Do you find that sometimes, and I guess it also happens in what we do, we try to evolve too quickly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I think that, like, especially advertising creatives are obsessed with the newness.
Mm,
right? Always. So like sometimes, you know, like people who, like, for example, like, drop an album, right? You could write that album for 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Right? One album. Go and perform it everywhere.
In the world.
Same album. Yeah. Everywhere for
Not
4 years.
Neil.
10, 12 years.
Yeah.
You know, Seinfeld. I once heard that he had the same set for, like, years, right?
Mm.
But with us, you drop one piece and then the next one, you kind of go, yeah, but that's old now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm like that as well.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And sometimes I feel like that's how we put too much pressure on ourselves, because sometimes we actually haven't spent enough time extracting as much as where we are, from where we are at the time.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I used to do this thing where I arrive, like, I still do it now. I arrive at a show and I assess how many familiar faces are in the crowd.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, bangas.
Yeah.
I'll sing these old jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if it's a completely different crowd, erase your game.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now you're going to perform.
Yeah,
but
if it's a completely, like, you know, like, no, if it's a completely
brand new crowd,
that's then what I'm saying. I bring the old stuff. I'm not going to waste the new stuff.
Yeah, on the new crowd.
And I don't want to say waste, but it's just like, I don't feel like they've heard it before.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go, here. You know,
I got you.
But, you know, I'm going to pay you some songs that I played 3 weeks ago. I'm going to do some poems I did 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Mara, money, manga. Like, I'm like,
hey,
swing a new chat. Everything has to be fresh. I got to show some form of progression.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's dope. And do you find the same thing? No.
I mean, like, I think a lot of what Laz is saying is, it's a bit contrary on my side.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's the voice, I'm the DJ.
Yeah.
You know, like, how musically it's influenced my creativity. It's almost like, with collecting all this music, with playing all this new music that comes from different places around the world, you know, that has allowed me to tap into street culture a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, and then street culture is, you know, synonymous with brand culture.
That's right.
You know, and the two work hand in hand.
Yeah.
And then with me, like, coming from that musical angle, and one that is non-agency specific and non-typical, it's almost as if my third eye is a little bit more open to, you know, whatever it is that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not looking at it from a very analytical, like, did they get the kerning right?
Yeah.
How's this playoff line? It's a billboard. I hope it's 8 words, you know, maximum. It's more like, what's the feeling behind this product that I'm sampling, or the shoe, you know, or what's the heritage of the Nike Jordan 1?
That's right. And that's right.
And how has it made kids feel from its drop right up to today? being the most iconic shoe.
Absolutely.
And how do I almost create or try and create work that addresses the same type of philosophy?
You know?
So currently, you know, me and the homie here, we're working on some dope shit. We can't really say what it is.
That's what's up.
But it's dropping really soon.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been years wanting to create shit like that.
Now we have a platform to create it.
That's dope. Really, really puts street culture on the map like it's never seen before.
Yeah.
Authentically, you know?
Yeah.
Without any product pushes, without any...
Because we're on the streets. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we are the Brum Lords. So now you sit in these meetings and you're like, no, that's not right.
You're getting that wrong.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not the way to do it. Like, no.
Yeah.
You know, and these conversations happen on the regular. And I think this is an interesting point about, like, these new hybrid creatives now that are starting to show up, you know, people who are
have other interests,
and those interests are informing the work that
they're doing.
I can't personally, like, I sit in there, like, we need this song and this song and this song. I'm like, no, this song is not,
it's not the one.
But
you know, I was having a conversation with someone the other day where they said they actually wanted to be a brand consultant or consult for brands on street culture, just getting the
And you know what?
One of the important things that I pointed out to them, like, but why would they listen to you? You need to start doing things so that they know that. When you step up, you say, like, I know this because I did this.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy to sit there and say, like, if only these brands would listen to me, but why would they listen to you? Because someone else was getting it wrong, but they've been doing it successfully for 14 years.
It's quite a strange place as well, because you know, like, when you're on the side, you don't understand something, then you could take anything from anyone. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So anyone can walk off any pavement and just say, you know me, man.
I know from when, and then
I take everything you just said to me and I put it down, and then the real people in Brahma are like, what the fuck are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
It's quite treacherous ground, actually. Yeah. So here's what I want to know. Like, and I'll start with you now.
Yeah.
So, but the way you approach your music side, right?
Yeah.
Like your creative approach to your music side.
Yeah.
How different is that to when you conceptualize kind of like your work at the office? And you find that you have to, you know, it's like when people ask you, do you conceptualize in Venek? You know, that shit. You know, it's like, you know, even though you're writing in English there, do you conceptualize in Venek? But do you find that, is your process for arriving at solutions for your creative outside of the office similar to the one at the office?
That's a very intense question.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try my level best to answer it.
Yeah.
Like, in the beginning it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was like, especially as a new buck going into the creative industry, like shifting from this account executive role into this copywriting role.
Yeah.
You know,
you're an account executive?
Yeah. Crazy, man.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And you've got that account executive.
Now that you're saying, can't slip and fight.
Guys, I was the AE on SABC.
Look at this.
Look at, like, you.
Know, but no, this is not about that. That's not what we're talking about. Like, let's get back to the point of the question. So, in the beginning, it wasn't really like that, you know, because young buck, still trying to follow disciplines, you know, trying to get, you know, the wording correct, trying to get the essence of what you're trying to get across in as few words as possible.
Yeah.
But, like, as the years went by, you know, I started realizing that, you know, that I have a responsibility as a person of my stature to put people like me on.
That's right.
You know, or
that's
to put my essence or my culture onto this brand map.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, these brands are borrowing from street culture.
Yeah.
And like Laz was saying earlier, you know, us, like, bucks in the street, when we see borrowed content from street culture, that's not
Accurately,
then already it's like alarm bells go off,
yeah.
You know, so with, like, this new almost road that I'm trying to take,
it is
a brand consultant, but more like a street culture consultant,
marrying
brand promise
with
whatever the streets really, really have to offer, more specifically the youth market, right? So, like, conceptualizing now how it's musically driven is that, you know, I'll listen to the new Travis Scott. Which is fire, by the way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Shout out to Travis Scott. Avid listener to the show.
You know what
Avid listener to the show. Shout out to Mr. Scott.
That's your partner. Right? Shout out
and
to your partner.
You're looking at the philosophies around the type of music he creates or how it makes you feel, and you attribute that philosophy or that feeling to the kid on the street.
Yeah.
So you look at that feeling, you examine that feeling, you say, this is what that feeling is.
Yeah.
How can I bring across that same feeling in my creativity?
That's right.
That exact same feeling. Damn, and then when it reaches that shift, or it reaches that paradigm shift where they match,
that's right.
Then you're like, cool, I'm onto something.
Boom!
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
man.
Again, it might not always be onto something for the rest of your agency or for the rest of the industry at large.
Yeah.
But if you're touching that man on the street, then what you're doing is that you're creating that work that lives in people's
that's
lives.
That's right, that's right.
You know what I mean?
And this is G-Man the Ant, man. I told you guys, let's keep bringing the heat, man.
Damn.
Yeah? How's my on the heat right now?
Block.
There we go again.
Let's get Laz's take on this.
Yo, man, I'm gonna take you to like when like I wrote my first script.
Yeah.
Radio script for Ogilvy. I just came out with like these bars.
Yeah.
Poems. The waters are drifting through the moments of life. I was like, man, what is this? I've had to adapt.
Yeah.
But I think that the true paragons of the industry are the people that are able to take on, because that's my mission. I take on this ethos of advertising, understand it fully, completely, 100%, 360, and then go, how has drip this little spoken word over?
Yeah.
You know what the parameters are. So that's what I'm trying to understand. Like, you know, when I've told, like, 30 seconds, there's how many words. So I'm like, okay, cool. Then once do that, because I feel like so many people, like, 90% of the time are fighting to be understood. But you don't work enough to make people understand you.
Yeah.
And then understand other, and help people understand the process. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Got
okay,
you.
So when I send the review and maybe my ideas are too wild,
yeah.
I'm taking time to understand. I'm not going, I'm this dope lyricist.
Yeah.
From Brom. I've traveled the world, you don't know. So I'm trying to I'm like, okay, cool. You have something you have something I do not have. I'll take it in, learn, and then after that, give you whatever that balance is. Then after that, I can start swinging the into the pieces. So that's been important.
It's
so
crazy shit.
Was Lazarus low key flexing right
there? Yeah, he did. Yes,
right?
Yes,
boom!
It was
a public domain.
Bitches must know. So I got another tweet from Prasol actually. He says great points from Neo and Cheese about the awards convo. The big homie Amatili used to always say, create work, remarkable work, I don't know, worth remarking about. Somehow that shit converts into silverware sometimes, you know. And I guess that's the point that all three of you actually made. That it must just come from the right place.
Just come
from the right place, and we're cool. It's so crazy, guys. We're almost out of time. How crazy is that? Like, the hour just flies by because we're hanging out. That's the shit. But I absolutely have to get you guys back in the studio, man. I feel like there's a whole lot that we have to get through that we just didn't, you know, man.
I actually feel important.
Yeah. Laz, you are important. You travel around the world, remember?
I'm stuff. Dope lyricist who travels around the world. I'm stuff.
Just a quick one for Lazarus. When I met you the first night at the Louis, you spoke about not trying to peak too early. Did you peak at the right time?
No, I definitely, without a doubt, Shadow, like, I peaked too early.
You peaked too early?
Yeah.
I thought about you hit a whole
kid. You probably peaked too early.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, that was it. That's very amateurish. I've never peaked too early.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it.
The first time. And I've since taken introspection of that and course correcting. Yeah. We shall do better.
All right, fantastic. Guys, it's been another fantastic show of G-Man the Ad Man. I had some dope guests with me in the studio. You know what? Anybody who was in your office, who didn't get to listen to the show, download the podcast. It's on cliffcentral.com. You know what? Everyone is in your studio needs to hear this. Yeah. These cats drop some super knowledge up in here. We laughed at Cheese. We laughed at Laz.
We laughed at
Cheese. We laughed at Malcolm Brothers. We laughed at everybody.
I feel like you guys laughed at me more than anyone else. Like.
We had a good laugh. But yeah, man, it's been another dope show of G-Man the Ad-Man. Guys, thank you so much for coming through, man. It's such a pleasure to have you guys in the studio. And we're definitely going to do this again. Right. There is going to be a part two of this show. Woo-hoo. I feel like we all need it and deserve it. It's been a while since I've been here, man. So it's really good to be back. Like I say every week, take care of yourself, take care of those briefs, but most importantly, take care of each other. This game gets real rough, real quick. And like I say every other week, if the show is on a Friday, we'll be having a tequila. Boom! It's your boy, G-Man the Adman.
Out.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man the Adman. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-G-G-Man, the
Ad-Man. Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly.
Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-G-G-Man, the Ad-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
This is clipcentral.com.